Hello, everyone. Welcome to Making the Biblical Text Meaningful to Life, a platform on which difficult biblical texts are discussed. Your teachers are Dr. Liberty and Dr. Robertson. Hey, Rob, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, please pray for us.
Our Heavenly and Gracious Father, thank you so much for this time to come together. We have been meeting for 53 weeks now to study your word, to learn more about what is a biblical marriage. And Father, you've shown us so much, Lord, and how a marriage points to our Savior, Father, and his love and your love for us. Lord, this is such a wonderful thing that you have blessed us with, Father, with our salvation. And Lord, I just thank you for this study and all that we're learning. And Lord, I pray that tonight you continue to speak through us, bind any distractions, anything that would detract from this message, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, let us continue to preach the Bible, to preach your truth, and to root out things that are cultural or myths or misconceptions that would detract from your kingdom, Father, and from your word. Lord, we ask all these things in the name of Jesus and in his name alone. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rob. Hey, for those of you that are with us live tonight, we want you to please do the following for us. If you are with us by way of computer, please use the chat if you have a question to ask. While the teaching is on, we're going to get back to you. And for those who are with us by phone, please take down this number, 561-506-9853. I repeat, 561-406-9853. Call this number and leave us your questions. You can call several times, and we are going to get back to you with the answer. All right, please keep everything around you quiet. Radio, phone, TV, etc., because this teaching is live. Now, at the end of this teaching, everyone will be given the opportunity to make a comment or ask question, whatever you want to do. So you can write down your comments or question, or use a chat or call. Then at the end of the teaching, you will come in and we are going to have a great time together. All right. Now, the teaching today is about one of the most important weddings in the Old Testament. You know, last week we told you that we're going to pick up from the from New Testament today. But please forgive us, because the Lord just opened our hearts to know that there are quite a few things in the Old Testament that we have to do. And that's one of it we're bringing to you tonight. We're going to get there to the New Testament, as we promised. All right? But we want to finish up those areas. So tonight we're talking about one of the most important weddings in the Old Testament. That is the marriage between Ruth and the Moabite and Boaz. Know that King David descended from the line of Boaz. So from Judah, Boaz to Jesse. So this is an important time of study as we come to this. The Moabites were descendants of Lot through Lot's incestuous union with his eldest daughter. Ruth was in the family line of Christ. And please note that very carefully. The book of Ruth tells us about Boaz, a mighty king's redeemer who redeemed the person and the property of Ruth, motivated not by duty, but by love. All of this is typical of Christ. It's a foreshadows of Christ. A mighty kinsman redeemer who redeems the person and the property of all who believe on him, motivated not by duty, but by love. I just love that. So it's an important study that we are on tonight. The true account of Ruth was written to teach the sovereignty of God in human affairs. It teaches that God is always at work, providentially working out his redemptive purposes here on this earth. God is at work on this earth, working out things. We do not understand how some of the things happen, but he is at work. During the period of the judges, a famine came to the land of Israel. Elimelech and his family, his wife, Naomi, his two sons, Melo and Kilo, left Bethlehem to dwell in the land of Moab. While in Moab, Elimelech died, and afterward his two sons married two of the girls of Moab, Orpah and Ruth. After a period of time had passed, Mahlon and Chilion died, leaving three widows in the family of Elimelech. Naomi made a decision, and she returned home along with Ruth, who was a wife of one of her deceased sons. When Naomi was welcomed to Bethlehem by the people of Bethlehem, she responded by complaining about her treatment at the hands of the Lord and by asking his people to no longer call her Naomi, which means pleasant, but Mara, which means bitter, relating her experience in foreign land to the new name. I am bitter. I am hurt. So call me no more pleasant. Now I'm a bitter person. Now, what we're going to do in this, in our study, it's a great study tonight. Please hang on with us. In this study, we will discuss three major points. The first one is the historical background of Boaz and Ruth's wedding. What contributed to the kind of wedding that took place in Israel at the time? We need to know the historical background. The second thing that we'll be discussing is the departure of Elimelech and his family from Bethlehem to Moab, escaping the famine in the land. We'll discuss that. Then the last point of discussion in introducing this major study is the family's misfortune in Moab and the return of Naomi and Ruth back to Bethlehem. These are key things that we'll be looking at tonight. In this study, these are the objectives. In this study, the participants will understand and believe that Boaz and Ruth's wedding occurred during the days of the judges. Because of the famine in Bethlehem, Elimelech took his family to Moab, escaping from the land of Israel. The family had a major misfortune in Moab. Naomi's husband and two sons died, and she returned home with Ruth, one of the wives of her deceased sons, back to Bethlehem. Now, these are areas that we will be discussing tonight, and please, these are the objectives of our study tonight. But let us begin with the historical background of Boaz and Ruth's wedding. The world in which we live, what was going on there. Okay, now, point number one is this. The historical background of Boaz and Ruth's wedding. Now, what we want you to note carefully, that Boaz and Ruth married during the time of the judges. However, the time span of the judges is debatable. And that's one key thing that we need to note here in our study. The book of Judges recorded 410 years of Israel's oppressions and subsequent deliverances. Judges recorded 410 years. But Luke says in the book of Acts 13:20 that the period of the judges was 450 years, including 40 years of Eli's judgeship. Now, the third point here is the book of 1 Kings, chapter 6, verse 1, poses a problem. It gives more than 300 years of the judges' period, from Othniel to Samuel. So, in reality, we do not know exactly the time, but what we can, the period is, because it is debatable, what we think will be the time period will be around 400 years. Okay, so it was a time, can you imagine 400 years, the people of Israel were just doing their own thing. Doing their own thing. That was so terrible. All right. Now, at this time, we look at the time of the judges. It's debatable, but we feel that it is around 400 years based upon what we, the evidence and the research and what the text, the scriptures have said. All right. Now, let's look at the religious condition of Israel during the period of the judges. Now, Rob, do you have anything to do you have a note here?
So, yeah, what we've seen, we've discussed this in some of our previous studies.
Right.
Is the spiritual condition of Israel is moving farther and farther away from God.
That's right.
So, as you point out in your slide here, there's disobedience. We saw the kings were directly disobeying God's commands by taking more than one wife.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, Solomon, we saw his heart was turned by his wives, and he was worshiping false gods and idols, even though he started out walking with God.
Yes.
And the kings that came after him and the judges after him, as Israel moved, as their history progressed, they became more and more wicked. Some of them were so wicked that they weren't even given a proper burial.
Right.
And we see that Israel is embracing the customs of the lands around them.
Mm-hmm.
They're adopting the various idols. Some of the kings were even building temples to these false gods.
Uh-huh.
So the time here during Naomi's life and Ruth's life is a time of a spiritual darkness.
Uh-huh.
Yet Naomi was following after God.
Mm-hmm.
And Ruth recognized this and wanted to go with her.
Mm-hmm.
And wanted to serve her God. Didn't want to, you know, she came out of the Moabites, but wanted to follow Naomi's God. And we see this relationship develop through this story here.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes noticed by those that are around her. In her character, she develops, she has a very honorable and virtuous character.
Right.
That becomes known by all those that that dwell in the city that she moves to.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, it's a very interesting time. And again, a time that is spiritually dark. A time where Israel has gone astray,
yeah,
and is embracing many of the cultures around her. However, we will see here in Ruth that not only is Ruth a virtuous woman, But so is Boaz, who is one of her kinsmen. So I don't want to say any more at this point. Let's continue to go into the study, and we have a lot to learn, and a new component to what we're learning about marriage, and another facet of what is a biblical marriage.
Thank you. Now, the religious condition of Israel during the period of the judges. I'm holding the text for tonight. I'm gonna read a little on, but let me read something. The last sentence in the book in Judges. The Lord says here, in those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. So this is a complete summary of the disobedience that was at its peak at the time. And as Rob said, they worshiped idols, Baal, Ashtaroth, and other pagan deities. Immorality abounded. Even some of the judges were immoral persons. So many things like Gideon, Samson, and all that. Lawlessness prevailed. Every man did what they wanted to do at the time. So this time, something happened. There were famine in the land. So now we get to the next thing that we are going to look at now. We see the background. We see part one of the background. Everyone did what they wanted to do. The kings were doing their own thing. Disobedience against the will of God was at its peak. They were worshiping false gods. The kings were immoral, and all these kind of things was going on at the time. So famine came in the land of Israel. Now, let me read our text for tonight. I save it for the second point here. Let me read that for our second point. Now, Ruth 1, beginning at verse 1, and I'm reading from the NIV version of the Bible. Please pick up your Bible. This is a Bible study. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. All right. Now, verse 1 and 2, that's our text for tonight. Now, the next thing we found out, when the whole thing was sin in the land, everyone doing what they did necessary. It was fighting here and there. Israel will be suppressed, and Israel will bounce back, and then another judge will come into the scene to free Israel, and Israel be blown back into suppression and all that. So great famine was in the land, and a man by the name of Elimelech departed from Israel, escaping from the famine to live in Moab. Now the text say he went with his wife. His wife's name is Naomi. And the meaning of Naomi is pleasant, something that is pleasant. So the man had two sons, Melo and Kilo. They were all Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. From the house of bread, then they went to Moab. They went and
settled
in Moab. Yeah, Rob, are you coming?
Yeah, you know what's interesting?
What's going on?
Elimelech, you know what his name means?
Uh-huh.
Remember we talked about L is
right.
God. And Melech, his name means my God is king.
Right.
So here you see a righteous line, you know, that is following the manners, the customs. You know, there still is tragedy that befalls because, you know, the husbands all die.
Yeah.
And the wives become widows.
Yeah.
All three of them, the mother-in-law and the two daughter-in-laws.
Uh-huh.
But yet, they still maintain their manners and their customs of the time. So we see this righteous line, and something's great is going to happen when we get to the end of the story.
Right. Thank you. That's good. You got it. You got it, Rob. You got it. Now, let's look at the historical overview of Moab. When we say Moab, you live in the house of bread. All right? God's house and going to Moab. Let's look at the background of that area. The Moabites were descendants of Lot through Lot's incestuous union with his eldest daughter, who became powerful then. Now, when Lot, this was a condition at the time. So the Moabites were descended from Lot, eldest daughter, in the incestuous relationship. Okay. So he left that area and went to settle in that land. That was a key issue. All right. So when the Israelites in their wilderness journeys came to the land of Moab, the king of Moab, Balak, hired Balaam to curse them. After the Israelites entered Canaan, they were oppressed by the Moabites, but the Moabites were defeated and driven from Canaan by the Israelites. George, Ehud, probably just a short time. So here is the situation. They left the house of bread, they left Bethlehem, and they went to live in Moab. So this is a little background of the city of Moab. That's a little background of that city. So what's going on here is that he left and joined, he went to Moab with his entire family. And his son is escaped. Well, you know, I'm not going to be in. We're not going to deal with the issue of filming anymore. What we do is we will just be here and enjoy ourselves. So they were there. But what happened? What happened in that land after they left the house of God? And they went to our land. Misfortune. The point here is they have a major misfortune in the land of Moab. What happened there? Elimelech, the father, the husband of Naomi, died. Now the two sons of Elimelech married Moabite women. One of them called Opat and the other one Ruth. After 10 years living in Moab, Mahlon and Chilion died. So really, it was so bitter for her. Naomi's husband and two sons died in Moab. So there was a disaster. It was terrible at the time in the life of that woman. Leaving your own homeland with your husband and children into another country, and then they all die. It was she alone. Very painful, right, Rob?
Right.
Yep.
And and now she has to, you know, there's no one to care for them as well, because now she's not only lost a husband, but now the two sons as well.
Yes, the two sons gone.
So, and you know, we have to remember she's in a foreign land as well. So she's going to return home where she does have, she has property that they had sold when they left. However, they are entitled under the law to repurchase that, or a family member can purchase it for them. So we'll see a little bit about that as well.
Right.
But yeah, it's a very difficult time for her.
Real difficult time for her. That. Now, we look carefully. We started with the historical background of Boaz and Ruth's wedding. We discussed that. Then we came to point two, the departure from Israel to Moab because of the famine. We have done that. Then we get to point three, that is the misfortune in the land of Moab. She got there, they were living good, but something happened. The husband died, her two children died, the two children married, and then the little died. So it was she, it was Naomi and the two ladies that married to her two sons. What could she do? Now the fourth points here that we want to discuss today and come back next time is Naomi took a major decision to return home because she could not find her way out. Things were going bad for her. The husband had died. There, well, the children were there. 10 years they were doing something. They got married. But it happened that her two children died. So what could she do? Now, hearing that there is abundant food in Bethlehem, Naomi determines to return to her homeland. Well, my country is blessed. I gotta go home. I can't be in the foreign land. I have problems here. My children died and my husband died. So I need to go and I have property home. I need to return. And that was the problem that she was going on. Both her daughters-in-law began the journey with her. Now, when she got ready to come home, the two women that were married to her daughter, two of them decided to come along with her. One thing I've been thinking about this, Rob, I don't know, but the kind of connection, whether was it a cultural thing or what, but I think so. Now, you're married to a man, the man died, and then you say, well, even though your son is dead, but I will still go with you wherever you go. What is that, Rob? I mean, you know, whatever answer you give, that's it. And then you're thinking about it.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. So the one daughter, Orpah, leaves. You know, Naomi encourages her to go back to her family, so she does. Mm-hmm. But Ruth insists, and we read in chapter 1, verse 16, right. Whither thou goest, I will go. Mm-hmm. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. So she's wanting to be adopted into Naomi's culture.
Uh-huh.
There's a connection here, a very deep connection. And all through this, she's serving Naomi and helping to care, you know, honoring her and providing for her. So, you know, Naomi had tried and tried to get her to leave, but she's like, no, I will go with you and I will serve your God.
Right.
And we see as she's going along that she is serving Naomi, looking after her and providing for her in the ways that she can.
Hmm.
It's
something, Rob, it's something that we... anyway, as we go forward next week, we might come across that. We might discuss more and more about that. But the kind of love, the more especially when Naomi said, "Look, even if I were young to get pregnant and have a son, will you wait until that child grow for you to get a husband? That's an impossible thing. All right, but you know, when we get to that, I mean, those of you that are with us live and by replay, and that's a great study. There's something about what Naomi have said here. We can't go into that tonight because we are only dealing with the background of the world in which Boaz and Ruth live that contributed to the kind of wedding they had. And I want you to carefully note this. The country was completely out of the will of God. They were doing their own thing. For 400 years, let's say 400 plus years, during the days of the judges. In fact, let's say everyone would just do whatever you wanted to do. So Israel was completely doing their own thing out of God's plan. And the enemy will come and suppress them. They will cry, and then God will send a deliverer. And then Israel will go back to the same thing. Now, at the time, this family, it was a great, severe famine in the land. This man decided to take his family from the house of bread to Moab. And they went there. But there was a major misfortune. The husband died. Well, she and her children were living there, and they married. So she was happy. But then the two sons died. So she decided to come back home. We're not going to finish it tonight. That's where we stop. But hey, look at this is a great study. Some of the things that we're talking about as we get to part two of our study, we will look at them very carefully. But this is the time. Now, because of sin, Israel got involved in so many things. Then the man left his hometown. He said, well, I'm not going to deal with this thing anymore. I'm going to get somewhere and help myself. When they got there, the woman, she got the whole thing. But the whole thing here is that God was working out something that Naomi could not even understand. You know, we're talking about the providence of God, the way God worked out in Naomi's great pain. Something good came out of it, right? Rob, we're not there yet, but something good came out of it, right?
Oh yeah,
something good. We can't talk about that now, but something. Hey, you join us next week, and we're here. But that's something good. But something good, great came out of that. So that's all we have. We've introduced it tonight and giving you the historical background and all the things that happened. But Naomi now is back home. Next week, we are going to look at the wedding between Ruth and Boaz. That's great. That's a great time. Invite somebody to join you. All right? Now, I will at this time unmute everyone. Those of you that are with us live, if you have questions before Rob give us the concluding points tonight, if you have questions to ask, please, you can ask your question and make sure that your background is safe. Your background is safe. You can answer the question for tonight. All right, I'll ask your question. Are your background safe? I never unmute you yet. Okay, let me do that. Your background is safe. Hey, everyone is unmuted. If you have questions, you're welcome to ask. If you have a comment, you're welcome to make the comment. Okay? Everyone is free to come in. Whatever you want to say or you want to make a comment, you want to ask questions, you're free to do that. Okay. All right. Well, good. Thank you. Well, okay. Next week. So, but this is what I want to. I'm asking you to do this for us. For those of you that are with us live tonight, if you rewatch this on the website, give us leave us a comment. All right, below. Even if it's on YouTube, there's a place there where you hit the thumbs up and thumbs down button, or leave us a comment. Tell us what you think about this study. If you are watching this on our website, do the same. We want to hear from you. and we are so excited. We want to hear from you, and thank you so much for joining us tonight. Next week, we're going to look at a wedding. We just discussed the background of the wedding. And next week, hey, invite somebody. It's going to be great time. We're going to do that. All right? Okay, Ralph, can you give us our concluding points and then prayer?
Certainly. So as we read through Ruth, we want to pay attention to a couple of things. One, we see Naomi. When she returns to her people, she says, "Call me Mara," meaning bitter, mm-hmm. Bitterness. For she lost her husband, then she lost her sons.
Mm-hmm.
So she experienced much tragedy in her life.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is her two sons, they both acquire wives from within the local culture. Now, when we looked at the patriarchs, when we looked at several other marriages,
right,
the fathers had procured wives,
mm-hmm.
not from the surrounding cultures, but back from their
home,
their relatives who,
right.
who were still a remnant of believers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the father apparently was a believer because his name says, "My God is King."
Mm-hmm.
Naomi was apparently a believer as well, because Ruth says, "Hey, I want to serve your God, and I want to serve you and
right.
go with you." So she obviously had a very strong influence, yet mm-hmm. she experienced much bitterness and hardship.
Mm.
And what's interesting is when they left, when there was famine in the land, I don't see scripture pointing out that they prayed or sought God's will or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what transpired. We just know that they left.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that could be part of why there was such hardship, is that they were going about things in their own will.
I think so too.
Yeah, now that is just speculation on my part, but these are things we should pay attention to. And what's very interesting is Ruth's response to things.
Mm-hmm.
We want to pay very close attention to her behavior. She is a servant and has the heart of a servant. And how she responds to things is very interesting, because she also suffered tragedy.
Right.
She lost her husband. She lost a brother-in-law. She lost mm-hmm. a father-in-law. And now she's losing her own biological family as well. She's going into a foreign land,
mm-hmm.
In a sense, into a area where the customs are different, the people are different. Everything is different from what she knows. So next week, we want to start looking at how she responds. So we see Naomi's response,
right?
And she says, "Hey, call me bitterness. Don't call me pleasantness."
Mm-hmm.
So quite a contrast. Now Ruth, this is what we want to see. We want to see what happens to her,
mm-hmm.
and how God moves and works in her life. and then as we both mentioned, there's going to be a great conclusion at the end of Ruth.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Okay, then. Okay. Can you pray now?
Certainly.
Right.
Our Heavenly and Gracious Father, thank you so much for this study.
We thank you, Lord.
Lord, you are our God. You are our King.
Mm.
There is no other. Father, we want to serve you. And this is why we study your word. We embed it in our hearts and in our minds, and we meditate on it daily, Father. Lord, for we are in a fallen world,
mm.
doing battle daily, not against fleshly things, but against spiritual things,
mm.
things that would try to dislodge us from you, to distract us, and get us off course, Father. Lord, it's so important for us to stay in your word, to seek you in all of our decisions, and to pray daily. And Lord, we just thank you for this study, for all the things that you're showing us,
yes, Lord.
And teaching us. Continue to strengthen our faith and guide us and teach us the ways that we should be going, Father. Lord, there are so many distractions, things in this world where everyone says, oh, it's okay, everybody's doing it. Yes, it's fine, but you have made it clear in your word what is acceptable, what is good, and what we should be doing, Lord. And this is what we are seeking out, what is good, what is biblical. Thank you so much for this study. And thank you so much for this time. Lord, we just pray to have a servant's heart like that of Ruth, how she served her mother-in-law. You know, we see in society today where the sitcoms, the various shows, they're always poking fun at the in-laws, showing how it's a disconnected family and how that's okay. Well, no, it's not. We should be close as family. We should be caring for one another, tending to each other, serving each other. For this is what is biblical. This is what you've called us to do, Father. Everything should be in before us.
Yes, Lord.
More important than ourselves, Father. For we should be humble servants. So, Lord, this is what I pray, Father, that we seek your will and your guidance each and every day, and that we seek to serve you
Hallelujah.
And those that you have put in our path. Thank you, Father. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. Hey, next week, join us. Join us at 8 p.m. Great teaching. Thank you so much. Bye-bye, everybody.